This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Niner Noise podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. My name is Robert Morrison. I'm a contributor at ninernoise.com, and here with me, associate editor of Niner Noise, Peter Panacy. Peter, how's it going, man?
Doing good. It feels like I haven't chatted with you for a while. It's been a while since we did this.
I know. Yeah, it was just we were going back and forth a little bit today. It's like, oh yeah, it's one of those things in the off season when there's not a whole lot of things going on. It just kind of, it's just like, oh yeah, that we should probably continue to talk about things, and keep people on the boat, so to speak, as far as things are going. But yeah, it's good to get back and into the swing of it a little bit and kind of chat about where things are going. Of course, we are in that bizarre part of the off season where there really isn't a whole lot going on, right? The Niners cut their mini camp short. It was almost a week, right? Like they ended up cutting like several days off of it. They cut it off a day early for the first week, and then just decided, okay, we're done with the off-season program stuff, and we'll see in 6 weeks when training camp starts, which was a little surprising.
Yeah, it was a little weird. I mean, I have a theory, like, and it goes two ways. One, Kyle Shanahan's either seen everything he needs to see and has the pretty much set roles determined out of everybody, right? And at that point, guys are just running around getting into football shape. Mm-hmm. Or two, and this is kind of, let's go deep-seated conspiracy here, it's Kyle Shanahan want to avoid the injury bug.
Yeah.
It's like every, like, what is it? The past few off seasons, it's like you hear of some big injury in the last year, Justin School and Tarvarius Moore, mm-hmm, suffering season ending injuries, and Jeff Wilson. I mean, he was getting up off of a workout bench when
standing
he
up,
tore his meniscus. Yeah. And that makes me think, cause I'm like, I stand up all the time.
Like, I've never hurt myself.
I'm like, oh gosh. Okay. And then the year before, of course, like Debo getting hurt, of course, right, that was, you know, a non-sanctioned practice, and 2020 was weird, but like, I'm like, is he just saying, all right, we've done enough practice, everybody go, I don't want someone to tear an ACL or,
right,
or something like that. I have no idea, but yeah, it was kind of weird to see it all abbreviated. So now the 49ers are done with their off season. You're still seeing practice videos from other teams around on Twitter, and you're like, Oh, never mind. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah. Well, I think most of the rookies stayed. And then some of the second year players, I think, were still in town for the last couple of days of what would have been the workouts, but that just sort of depended on the situation. But I think you're right on both accounts, that, you know, this is a team that's made up of a lot of veteran players in a lot of positions. We talked about it when we talked about the pre-draft and even the post-draft podcast. It was like, there's just not a lot of room for the young guys to kind of step in and have obvious roles. And there's a few spots that they can fight for, but I think that plays into it a little bit, but also the let's not hurt ourselves. Let's not put any of our key contributors in positions where they could get hurt while they're running around in shorts and t-shirts and helmets. It just doesn't make any sense. So that means we wait, right? Until, you know, hopefully at this point, any news that comes out is probably going to be bad. So we're just in a situation where we're just going to hold it out. And like when training camp starts, then we'll get into the deep like roster battles and all that kind of stuff. But for now, it's all speculation and hoping that nothing bad happens. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I we joked about this earlier in the off season. It was literally like, can the 49ers just have one relatively quiet off season? But there's no drama. There's nothing crazy, you know, no players retiring, no players saying I want out, you know, be traded, nothing. Just have a quiet off season. I'd be okay with that. And now it's finally like, after all the commotion, if, you know, Debo's trade requests and then that relationship healing up, Alex Mack, oh, is he going to retire? Is he going to retire? Oh, yep, I'm retiring.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, now what? And then finally it's just like, all right, hey, get me until the end of July when the players get back on the field. And, you know, if there's any news there, just make it about like, you know, the 89th player on the 90-man offseason roster. Oh yeah, he got released and so-and-so got signed instead. Like, oh, cool. Right. I can talk about something. I can write about something, but I'm not like, oh man, yeah. I'm not going through any of those drudgeries of just wondering now what. So yeah. I'm actually looking forward to this month of just kind of quiet, hopeful right. quiet.
Yeah, exactly. Like the only reason I want to hear like Deebo Samuel's name is if it's because he's signed a contract extension, for example, things like that. But you mentioned a couple of the key things that we missed over the last couple of weeks while we were sort of taking a little podcasting break. Deebo Samuel did end up showing up for mandatory minicamp. Of course, there's all this hubbub about, oh, well, you know, he's just showing up so he won't get fined, you know, a la Marshawn Lynch back in the day when he was showing up for his press conferences. Although I don't know, it depends on where you're getting your information from, but all the everything that I was reading or and hearing was that he seemed to be in good spirits and was, you know, chatting with his teammates as if things were fine, and he was just trying to you know, staying off to the side. Maybe that's the whatever you call it. What are they calling that, the sit in or the check in or the hold in,
the,
or
the hold in. Yeah, you're not holding out, you're holding in.
Yeah, like you're there, so technically they're not going to fine you and that whole thing. And so we'll see. I'm not terribly concerned about it, because as we've talked about before, it's right in line with the contract extensions that they did with George Kittle and with Fred Warner, that they just don't deal with these long-term extensions yet at this point. So it's a kind of a non subject for me at this particular point.
I tend to agree with that. And you know, I'm going to quote Kyle Shanahan here. He said, you know, when Samuel arrived, and he said, you know, quote, "I think it's always been all right. I know we go through the business part of this league, but I don't think the relationship was ever too far away to not get it back to normal. And I think we're working on that," end quote. Yeah. So, I mean, you have it from Shanahan. He and Samuel are close. I mean, that's well documented. They talk more than just football. They're not, I mean, there's obviously the business side. And mm-hmm. anybody who's gone through any sort of negotiation, however it might be, maybe you've bought a house, maybe you're negotiating for a pay increase at a job, kind of like this, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's going to be some standoffs. You know, maybe you're negotiating with a kid or your spouse. I have no idea, but there's probably going to be a little bit of give and take and a little bit of whatever. Now, again, none of us have any clue what it's like in a football world, unless someone out there in the listening universe does. I don't. So it's one of those things where you're going to wind up with the reactions and overreactions and probably a lot of hoopla. And to this point, I mean, he showed up. The 49ers didn't have to fine him if he skipped out on minicamp. They could have, but they didn't have to. Now, if he skips out on training camp, then it's a mandatory fine according to collective bargaining agreement. But at least at this point, they didn't have to. They could have said like, hey, you know, we're good faith, we're not going to do that. But he shows up anyway. Seemed overjoyed, like you said. So I don't know. I mean, when things were weird earlier this offseason, I kind of thought it 50-50. Now it's like 90-10, he stays. Yeah. So I don't, you know, and the 10% is like some team says, we'll trade every first, second, third round draft pick for the next like 5 years.
Yeah. If the Godfather offer came through, sure. You gotta do that. But, you know, it's like John Lynch has been saying the whole time, like, why would you trade a player? Like, we're not in the business of trading good players. Now, he says that about a lot of people. He keeps saying that about Garoppolo too. Like, like we're not going to give away. You don't just give away good players. He keeps saying,
I was so tempted, because I wrote an article about this, like, can't refuse trade offers for Deebo Samuel. This is a while ago. This is right around the draft. And I was so tempted just to use, you know, a Godfather picture header on it, you know. Yeah. I mean, that like would have been the classic and holding the cat and everything. So anyway, if you've seen The Godfather, classic movie, go see it. It's, you need to, you know, go check out Marlon Brando as The Godfather, and yeah, it's okay. There you go. Pitching movies.
There we go. That's where we are in this offseason for sure. But yeah, I mean, the Deebo thing doesn't worry me at this point. it seems pretty clear at this juncture that the issue was related to the usage thing and that impact that his usage was going to have on his ability to collect as much money as he could. I mean, he's clearly not an idiot, and he looked at the situation and he said, if I'm viewed as a part-time running back, then somebody can make the case that I should be paid like more like a running back than a wide receiver. It just makes logical sense for him to be like, well, but I'm actually a wide receiver and an all-pro wide receiver at that, and should be paid at like one. And so I think that's just really what it comes down to. And I don't know. I think it'll all end up being okay in the long run. Eventually it's going to probably be late July, early August before it's really like put to bed completely, but for now, we can hopefully at least stop talking about it for a while. But the other bit of notable news that you noted was that Alex Mack is retiring. From the outside looking in, it definitely looks like he put the Niners in a bizarre sort of situation. But there's like no way that the Niners didn't know this was coming. It seems a little strange the way it was handled, just mostly in terms of like how long it took them to come around and say that was what was going on, or Alex Mack to say anything about what was going on. But you have to think the Niners were planning on this all along, which means, you know, they didn't go into the draft without thinking that he might not be back, or he would definitely not be back. I don't think that's accurate, but they are now trying to figure out who's going to be the center starting this year. I mean, you had to know that there was going to be some questions about that position in the long term, even if Mac had come back for this year. But now they're forced to figure that out now. So I don't know if you have any thoughts about what they're gonna do there, or
I don't. Yeah, and one of two things with this. So one, the 49ers were confident in their contingency plans because they had to know. They had to know for a long time now, or not maybe a long time, but at least strongly feel like Alex Mack was gonna call it quits. And you go through the draft, and we talked about Donovan West, the undrafted free agent out of Arizona State. And if the 49ers had drafted him in round three, like towards the end of round three, no one would have batted an eye. Like literally, plenty of scouting reports I read on Donovan West said he was, a fourth round guy, maybe goes as high as round three. Certainly, things get weird. You could go as low as round six, but nobody thought he'd be an undrafted free agent. And there he is. Still, that said, knowing Kyle Shanahan hates to put in young players at center, he's always looking for the veteran there. That would have been a developmental option. And that would have been for 2023. But even so, it's like, all right, but no other moves were made. J.C. Tretter is sitting out there on the free agent market, a really good center from the Cleveland Browns who's been pretty durable. I think only missed one game last year and started everyone before that since, 4 years before or whatever. But, not as good as Alex Mack, maybe, maybe not the Pro Bowl caliber player, but good, very good. No touch in there. So you've got, so either the 49ers are comfortable with one of these two options, Jake Brendel, a guy who has three regular season starts since joining the league in 2016, or going with Daniel Brunskill, moving him over from right guard, which is kind of what happened in 2020 in the second half, to put the stop to that quarterback carousel when Weston Richburg couldn't come back. But then you're holding up opening up a problem at right guard. Now, maybe that's what Kyle Shanahan just wants to do, but they've been giving Jake Brendel a lot of snaps at center, and Brunskill's just kind of been out, minor injury, nothing too serious, but you don't really need to give him a ton of reps right now. He's fine. But if the 49ers, if they weren't prepared for this, I don't know how much bigger they could have botched it.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking to myself, I saw this a mile away, like blindfolded, that, okay, if Alex Mack returns, he's probably not going to be here next year. Do something now so that you have somebody who can step up a la Aaron Banks at left guard for Laken Tomlinson. Fine. Cool. Do something like that. And, you know, Spencer Burford, Nick Zakel, your favorite last name to pronounce.
There we go.
You know, getting those guys on day three of the draft, that's cool. That's fine. We'll see. But, you know, either the 49ers botched it or they kind of said, hey, we're comfortable with our contingency plan of Brendel and or Brunskill. So the interior is going to be weird. The funny thing about it, though, and again, it's pro football focus, so make of it what you wish, but they just released their offensive line rankings. And I was thinking when I clicked on this that the Niners are going to be down in like the 20s. The only player that you really can trust is Trent Williams. He helps elevate the group, no doubt.
But, for sure.
You know, Mike McGlinchey's coming back from that torn quad. He hasn't seen the field yet. Probably be back by training camp. Daniel Brunskill is kind of like he's the elder statement of the interior, right? And you're talking about a guy who's been a backup for, you know, most of his point up till 2020 and, you know, in and out of the league, whatever. Aaron Banks and Jake Brendel, if that's how the lineup works, it's like that interior three is questionable. Pro Football Focus ranked him 14th. And I was like, that's not bad.
No.
You know, again, it's Pro Football Focus. So, you know, if you're a fan of their work, great. If you're not, just laugh it off. But I was like, okay, I'll roll with that. But, you know, hey, maybe the 49ers are smarter than we are. They get paid like they are. But if it goes south, I'm going to be like, hey, I'm sending it home and making a lot less money doing this. All you need to do is hire me. And I could tell you that this was going to happen. Listen to me. So, boom.
Yeah. Well, with the Treader thing, I think I heard somewhere that he's involved in the Players Association, I think in some way, the president or something like that. And so he is actually like anti off-season workout. Like he thinks that the league should get rid of them. I don't remember. I think I heard this on, I think Matt Maiocco said this on his podcast. And he said something about like, so even if that is the plan, like they're not going to sign him until right up before training camp. Because he's not going to, he wouldn't have done anything. He would have sat out all these mini camps and things anyway. And the other thing, if you think about it too, if the contingency plan is let's see what we have with Brendel or maybe putting in Spencer Burford or one of these other young guys, or maybe we're going to slide Brunskill over or whatever. They know they have, you know, plan A, B, and C and D or whatever. This is an opportunity to put, you know, to put Brendel in there as like the undisputed guy through these mini camps and kind of see what you have and come back to it later. So it's certainly something to pay attention to throughout training camp. I mean, the other thing to keep in mind is we're moving into a completely different era from the quarterback point of view. And, you know, Trey Lance will require a different type of, will not require a different type. I'm sure he would still like the best caliber offensive line that he can get, but he might be able to cover up some deficiencies in some areas with his mobility. So I think that can be taken into account a little bit. So maybe you don't need like the best player at every single position, which, you know, is impossible to do anyway, because you can't pay guys enough like that. So, so that'll be interesting to see if that's part of what they're thinking as well, and whether or not Lance stepping in as the starter will impact the decisions that they ultimately make along the offensive line as well.
Yeah. And he's not a statue, right?
Right.
So, yeah. You know, there's going to be the scramble ability, the improvisation, but it does cut two ways. I mean, at the same time, you want him to feel protected. You want the best assets out there. You go back to, you know, 2020 season, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and he was under duress like crazy during that Super Bowl against the Patriots. And what did the Chiefs do the following off season? It was just like, okay, offensive line like crazy. You know, they revamped it. I hope the 49ers aren't in a point where they have to focus on that next year. But that said, you look at the rest of the roster the way it is now, and as long as, you know, a good chunk of it works out, then you don't really need a lot of moves. You know, you've got your two pass rushers in Nick Bosa and Drake Jackson. If Jackson works out, The interior is, you've got a lot of players there, maybe not as strong as the edges. You know, linebacker Fred Warner is still there for the long haul. Yeah, the cornerback room is completely revamped and reinforced. Safety, you know, we'll see. But I mean, you know, every other position is pretty strong. I just, for Lance's first year as a starter, yes, use that as a crutch to kind of get away from pressure, but don't run into it too much.
Right.
Hopefully you're not under duress.
Yeah.
I want to see that Mahomes tackled by five people in the Super Bowl type experience, right?
Sure. And I mean, if we've seen anything, one of the things that tends to break young quarterbacks is the pressure, and it becoming such a problem that they can't even stand in the pocket. It makes me think of the Sam Darnold thing, when he was talking about how he was seeing ghosts out there, on the field. And then unfortunately got caught on camera saying that out loud. But that's the type of thing that you want. I mean, I don't think anybody would make a case that Darnold has ever truly been a successful NFL quarterback. And part of that is because he was in such a bad situation that it was basically impossible for him to recover. And you definitely don't want that for Trey Lance, heading into this season and beyond, for sure.
Right. Right. Well, hey, you know, and this is going to be the fascinating part about training camp. When all of a sudden the pads come on, there is going to be a real pass rush. You know, it's not going to be the fake pass rush. So that might be a pretty good indicator how good or bad the offensive line is. And I mean, if these throws are hurried and become problematic, then that might be a worry. But at the same time, you know, Trey Lance has been looking good in these practices, minicamp, OTAs. He's supposed to look good in these practices, right? Like, mm-hmm. There's no real pass rush. There's no press coverage against wide receivers. They're getting free releases. But if he wasn't looking good,
right,
then you'd worry. You'd be like, okay, he's missing wide open guys. He doesn't know where to go where with the ball. You know, like he's completing 50% of his passes and there's no pass rush. And cornerbacks are 5 yards behind their guys because they can't bump them at the line of scrimmage. That would be a worry. And that's not happening. So, you know, I'm comfortable. I'm confident.
Yeah, I'm with you there for sure. And then, of course, the one other thing that we have sort of hanging over the whole situation. To be honest, I'm not even really sure how much it's hanging around the team at this particular juncture, mostly because the player himself is not physically there. And that is, of course, the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. I think there is an expectation that he should be able to throw the ball here pretty soon, which is good news, but also, frankly, I think it's pretty clear where this is going. The Panthers, as we've talked about ad nauseum at this point, are more or less the only team that are in a potential situation where they could make a trade at this juncture for a veteran player. Although they seem to be focusing their attention on Baker Mayfield for whatever reason, I guess. I don't know. Technically, I guess he's cheaper and younger than Garoppolo, so on that level it makes sense, but I don't know. So it sort of seems like we're moving towards the inevitable, in spite of what John Lynch says over and over again. We're moving towards he passes a physical and the Niners release him sometime before training camp starts, would be my guess.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, there is a situation where the 49ers keep Garoppolo as a backup. And the only way that situation makes sense is if he takes a massive pay cut. And there's a way this works. It's literally, hey, you're going to get your $1.4 million guaranteed in 2022. Yeah, that's guaranteed for 2022. You get that. Garoppolo's camp knows it now. By now, even if he gets traded somewhere, no team trading for him is going to keep him at 20. What would be remaining?
23 and something like that.
Yeah. Got any math majors out there? But yeah, like nobody, no team's going to keep him at that. It's probably gonna have to take a reduced rate. I mean, granted they'd negotiate against it, but literally the 49ers say, hey, we keep you around. You agree to this new rate. You get your $1.2 million guaranteed. Maybe you get an extra, I don't know, $6 million on top of that as a backup. And that's that. And Garoppolo's camp keeps it, accepts it. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying this is what the 49ers should do, but I'm just saying this is the possibility.
Yeah.
And from that point, the only reason it makes sense is because you look at the other two quarterbacks. Nate Sudfeld didn't exactly look great in OTAs and in minicamp. Brock Purdy, you know, I didn't read a lot about him during, you know, minicamp or anything, but his rookie minicamp wasn't particularly great. And, you know, you kind of look at just how ho-hum he was, you know, as his college career went on. I mean, early on, he was phenomenal at Iowa State, but it, you know, none of those two options are really giving you a lot of confidence. And for a 49ers team poised to win now, if Trey Lance gets hurt or completely burns up during the regular season, you can turn to Garoppolo. That all said, you remember how much of a circus it was last year with Garoppolo and Lance looking over his shoulder. And anytime Garoppolo had a bad game, and there was a few, it was the Trey Lance show needs to begin. Oh, hey, you know, you're wasting this guy. Trey Lance needs to start. I mean, it's national media, local media, fan base, Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, wherever. Yeah, it was the it was the clown show of clown shows. And get out from under that. You know, like the 49ers took the leap off the diving board by trading up to get for Trey Lance. You know, they're committed to him. Don't play this game for 2 years in a row. That's literally just the ask. So yes, you could keep Jimmy G as a cheaper backup, renegotiate his deal. Okay, you have someone who's ready to go in a moment's notice if Lance gets hurt. Let me tell you, 90% of the teams out there, if they lose their starting quarterback,
the season's over.
Right? Yeah, the season's over. You're done if you lose your starting quarterback for, you know, any length of time, unless you got Nick Foles on the roster. So I mean, like, don't play that game. Yeah. So yeah, I'm in your boat. It's getting close to that point. You pass a physical, you can throw a ball. We tried to trade you, try to get something out of you. Didn't work. We need that money. And it'd be doing a Garoppolo a favor too. Hey,
yeah,
you're not going to start here. Go out there on the free agent market. Maybe you'll be able to sign wherever you want, you know, place you're choosing, get a new deal, and best of luck, man. Like, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, not a whole lot left to say about that. I think it's, as you say, the potential awkwardness of doing that again, I think would be too much. All right. So, really quickly, let's go ahead and close this out with just a kind of final thought. We've kind of touched on this a little bit, but I want to do, each of us just one quick area of the team you feel confident about and one area that you're concerned about at this particular juncture in the off season. So one area that you feel confident about, Peter, at this point.
What do I feel confident about? You know, I feel confident in, I probably have to keep it family friendly. Okay. Never mind. I feel confident in Trey Lance. I really do. I feel confident in him. You know, and you look at a lot of these second year quarterbacks, right? And I won't put Mac Jones in that category just because Mac Jones was on a team that was good under a head coach that was good. Mm-hmm. And they asked him to do exactly what Mac Jones can do. You know, he runs a very, very, I won't call it vanilla offense, but he was the most pro ready guy, arguably behind Trevor Lawrence. And yeah, he's pretty much at his ceiling right now. Like, okay, that's how Mac Jones is probably going to be for the rest of his career. Fine. Great. I'm talking about Mac Jones. The other second year quarterbacks, you know, like Trevor Lawrence on a bad team. I'd love to see Zach Wilson and the Jets do well, namely because of Robert Saleh. The Bears are Justin Fields, man. Like, sorry, dude.
I feel so bad for Justin Fields.
Yeah. Call me. I'll try to play offense for you. I won't know if I'll make a good difference, but at least I'll try. Trey Lance is one, has physical tools. Two, the 49ers did everything they possibly could to surround him with talent. And that included keeping Deebo Samuel, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you think of the wide receiver core. We talked about this on the last pod, looking at the draft breakdown. You know, Danny Gray, a third round wide receiver, is maybe going to be the fourth guy on the depth chart, right? Because, mm-hmm, you know, Juwan Jennings, Deebo, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle is there too. Oh yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah, you know, and that defense is still going to be very good complementary, right? DJ Jones is really, and Kwon Williams are really the only two
net losses. Jaquaski Tart, I forgot about him, but you know, not impact losses, right? That defense still should be good. So complimentary football. Again, I'm comfortable in Trey Lance. I'm confident that he will be good. I'm not going to say he's going to go out there and, you know, win an MVP, but I think he'll be good. And you can say, all right, like for first year of being a starter, be confident in it. He'll be fine.
Yeah. I think I agree with that. And the thing is, he doesn't have to win an MVP for this team to be successful. If he's solid, then they'll be in good shape. I think for me, you mentioned the defense. I feel confident that this is going to be among the top defensive, you know, units across the board, in the NFL. I think they're going to get to the passer. I think they're going to be able to defend, the run and the pass well. Hopefully get some more turnovers, because I think that's the thing that they've been missing of late, especially last year. They just couldn't manage to take the ball away, and that hurt them during those losing streaks that they had. But I feel pretty confident about the direction this defense is going, and they just continue to revamp that defensive line. Linebackers are among the best group in the NFL, in the secondary, save for the one safety position outside of Jimmy Ward. I feel pretty good about that. So no worries there. All right. So what's I think we already kind of touched on this a little bit, but the area of concern for you.
Well, change it up. I already said the offensive line, but I'll back away from that just because I don't want to be too redundant on it. I'm still worried about strong safety. And you mentioned JC Treader, right? Like, he just wants to sit out the offseason. He thinks it's a waste. Did you happen to see that tweet from Jaquaski Tart? I think he was responding to Grant Cohn, and Grant Cohn was like, why haven't the 49ers re-signed Jaquaski Tart? And Tart said, maybe I just wanted a break from the offseason. That was the response. And I was kind of like, yeah, I'm not going to read too much into it, but it was like, huh, okay. Like, is there some sort of like deal going on behind the scenes? Like, yeah, we'll re-sign you, but just don't go anywhere. And
yeah,
we won't technically sign you, take the offseason off. You don't really need it. Talanoa Hufanga, second year guy out of USC, is taking all the first team reps at strong safety. And by all accounts, he's looking good, right? But he's still slow. I'm still very bearish on his coverage abilities, especially when you get into real game time situations. And yeah, he can make the splash play. Saw that in the playoffs last year. But I don't know. If Hufanga ain't it, you know, George Odom ain't it, Leon O'Neal Jr., the undrafted rookie, he ain't it. What do you do? And maybe that's where Tart's on speed dial. And, you know, if he wasn't there, he hadn't signed somewhere else, then maybe it'd be a bigger concern. But yeah, to me, that's still kind of a glaring weakness, because in defense of Tart, everybody thinks that, you know, that dropped interception on the Matt Stafford arm punt last, you know, year in the playoffs in the NFC Championship game, that's their last thought of him. Tart, when he's on the field, and a lot of times you don't see it because the camera's not panning back there a lot, he does a lot of things. Yeah. You know, watch him. If you have the All 22 film, watch him. He's good. You know, I won't put him in the elite category, but he's good. And there's a lot of stuff that's thankless. So him being gone, I think will matter more than you think. Unless he just wanted a break. In that maybe case, hey, cool.
Maybe good for him.
Go have your break.
Yeah. I would also throw our Tarvarius Moore in that mix. It's probably going to be in that mix as well. Right. I don't think he's been involved, still recovering from the Achilles injury, but I imagine we'll see him back there during training camp as well. I'll just reiterate the interior of the offensive line, not because I'm necessarily worried about any of the players in particular. It's just really the unknown factor at this point. Like, we expect that Aaron Banks is going to be good because he was a second round draft pick. Kyle Shanahan said they were ready to make the move last year, and then they went on the winning streak, and he was like, okay, don't touch it. You know, maybe Jake Brendel, by all accounts, has everything going for him from an athletic profile. He's very much similar to Alex Mack from an athletic profile, and then has everything going between the ears, which is what Shanahan asks in his centers. And then Brunskill is a solid but unspectacular guard there. But there's that left guard center combination. It's just an unknown at this point. And that's maybe it'll end up being fine. And again, maybe Trey Lance will be able to make up for some deficiencies in that area. But you definitely want to be able to feel at least mostly secure that the interior of your offensive line, because that's the worst place to get pressure, right? Because it comes at you.
Quickest way to the quarterback.
Yeah.
Quickest way to the quarterback, right up the middle.
Yeah. And since Aaron Donald didn't do us a solid and retire, we're going to have to deal with him for at least a couple more years. So anyway, all right.
Good call. Thanks.
All right. Peter, any final thoughts before we wrap things up for this?
It's going to be a good off season. It'll be fun to relax. I guess now will be as good a point as ever to officially announce on the Niner Noise podcast. But there is a chance I will not be doing my normal job towards the end of the preseason and beginning of the regular season for some time. That's because Trisha is expecting. And making my soon-to-be dad announcement on the Niner Noise podcast right here. So baby's due, little boy, August 18th. Yeah, nice. So August 18th and right smack dab in the middle of the preseason. So it could literally be I'm doing my job, 49ers game's going on, and granted it's like third quarter and you're watching backups, but who cares? And it's like, okay, time. I am out of here. Goodbye, 49ers fans. I will talk to you in a few weeks.
Well, Peter, that's awesome, man. We're super excited for you and wish you the best with that and look forward to hearing more about your experiences with the new little guy. Just had one, already more than 6 months ago, which is crazy to think, but it's an exciting new chapter. So congratulations to you on that. As always, thank you to all of you out in podcast land for listening to this episode of the Niner Noise podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Please continue to check out ninernoise.com for all your latest 49ers news and analysis, even throughout the doldrums of the off season. Please be sure to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And if you leave us a review and include a question, we'll try to give you a shout out on air and answer that question. And of course, be sure to share the podcast with all your fellow 49er fan friends. So until next time, let's sound the horn, 49ers.